This is the third sermon in a series I'm doing on God's law in 1 Corinthians 9, 20-21. And back a few weeks ago when I started out, the initial sermon was on the law of God in your covenant, my covenant. And that was to identify that there is a law of God, and it is different than the Old Covenant Mosaic Law. And then the second sermon last week was on recognizing purposes for the old law. Now, this one is what you have in terms of what we have from God for what you need. And it's going to go more and more into what we have in terms of the law of God for us. Now, once you realize that Christ established the new covenant on the cross, making, as it says in Hebrews 8:13, the old covenant Mosaic law of commandments obsolete, and that according to 2 Corinthians 3, 10 through 11, the old law came to an end, and Ephesians 2:15 saying the old covenant law of commandments contained in ordinances was abolished in Christ, and as Romans 10:4 says, Christ is the end of the old covenant Mosaic law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Once you understand all that, then 1 Corinthians 9, 20-21 makes sense. Paul says there that he was not under the law of Moses, but then he says something which might not make as much sense. He said next that even though he was not under the old law of Moses, he was not existing without the law of God. Think about this. He says, I'm not existing without the law of God. Well, he says he's within something. What does he say next? He says he's within the law of Christ. So he has the law of God. It's the law of Christ. And so we saw all this. And the law of Christ is the law of God in the new covenant. It's the Christian law that we are all within by grace through faith. And this law is what you have for what you need. And we must understand it. So prepare your heart for this sermon, understanding the law of Christ for action. Let's pray. Father, bless us to be blessed with your word, to use it to bless others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, getting into this sermon on understanding what you have as a Christian, the law of Christ, the substance of the law of Christ is something that we sang in a Christmas carol this morning. And if you remember, the lyric was that his law is love, and it's particularly Christian love. And as you act in accordance with this law, you fulfill it as fruit of the Spirit that's within you. And also, this law that you are experiencing was prophesied to come centuries before Jesus came to establish it. It was prophesied. And it was prophesied to come for us new covenant people of God in Isaiah 42, 1-6. Isaiah 42, 1-6. It foretold Jesus, and God said, I have put my Spirit upon my servant, I uphold upon my chosen one in whom my soul delights. And then it says, the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law. Well, that's the law of Christ. And then speaking of Jesus in the prophecy, God said, I am Yahweh, I have called you, you the Messiah, you Jesus, my only begotten Son, and I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations. So Christmas means Christ is sent. And he was sent in his conception, he was sent in his incarnation, he was also sent in the establishment of the new covenant in himself, with, very important, the love law in the covenant. Hebrews 7 through 8 explains another prophecy about the law of our new covenant, your covenant. Hebrews is expounding on Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34. And the writer of Hebrews at 7:11 says, people received the old covenant law on the basis of the Levitical priesthood. But Jesus was a unique priest who arose according to a different order, the order of Melchizedek, not according to the order of Aaron, the first of Levitical priest under the old covenant law. And then it says, when the priesthood was changed by necessity, there was also a change of law. And that change of law was over to the law of Christ. And now it says next that Christ is the mediator of a better covenant, which he had been enacted on better promises. And then we get to where Hebrews quotes the prophecy I told you about, which is Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34. Remember, I've already done the prophecy from Isaiah, the coastlands await his law, and he is the covenant. Now we're going into Jeremiah, which Hebrews is going into for us, Jeremiah 31, 27 through 34. And by the way, it's quoted from Jeremiah 38 of the Greek translation of the Old Testament there. That God will put that law, this is the prophecy, into his people's hearts in salvation. And so the Jeremiah prophecy said, days are coming, declared by the Lord, when he will establish a new covenant. It's not like the old covenant the Lord made with Israel when he brought them out of Egypt. Hebrews is expounding, and it says, in respect to the new covenant God will make, and then quoting the Greek Old Testament, says, God said, I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their heart. Now, the text in our Old Testaments, if you go back, has law singular. I will put my law into their minds and write it on their hearts. It's laws in the Greek Septuagint, the Greek translation. And this is what Hebrews was quoting. And so what this did is this prophesied the same new covenant law of God that Isaiah prophesied, which is the law of Christ. And so this is why Christians, this is very important what I'm about to say, why you love the one true God, you love Jesus, you love Christians, and you love Christianity. God's law is in your heart by the Holy Spirit. If you know people that don't, then you know that God's law is not in them. They're not saved. It all comes from Jesus being sent as the covenant, from God sending and putting the law in our hearts. It all comes with, it's a package deal. Salvation is a package deal that gets you so much. Eternal life, this eternal law, all these things. And then in Ezekiel 11:19, prophesied, again, I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. Well, that's us. And Ezekiel 36:27 has the new law connection saying, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, notice that. A lot of people miss the cause part there. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. And Paul alludes to that Ezekiel prophecy in 2 Corinthians 1:21-22, saying God established you in Christ, having sealed you, giving you the Spirit in your heart as a pledge. And so you walk in this love, this Christian love that God gives you. Now in your new covenant life, we do this new covenant law as fruit then, as we're seeing, fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says plainly, love is the fruit of the Spirit. Romans 15:30 says this love is from the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says God teaches you to love one another. It's all an active gift from God. It's unique for us, and it was prophesied. None of this is just new that came along with Jesus in the terms of like it was never foretold. It was all prophesied. And the reason why we call this law of God the law of Christ is because that's what Paul calls it here in 1 Corinthians 9 and also over in Galatians 6:2, which I'm going to go into later on in this sermon. 1 Corinthians 9 is called the law of Christ in Galatians 6:2. Now, let's look at the love connection some more. It's very important for us. This should drive our actions, this love connection. Remember, the Spirit causes us, but we have a responsibility to manifest this fruit that the Spirit's causing. Now, the Apostle John really gets to this in 1 John 4. He says this, loved ones, we should love one another because love, and he's talking about Christian love. Christian love is from God. And so there it is again, right there, love. Christian love is from God. Where? From God. And it says, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's Christianity. Everyone who has Christian love, this kind of love we're talking about. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. So the love law of God is described as a God reflection. And John shows something else. There is a commandment connection, like we're talking about. And he goes on, he says, we love because he first loved us. Okay. And if someone says, I love God, and hates a Christian brother or sister that he claims is his sibling, that person is really a liar. For the one who does not love the one he claims is his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him is that the one who loves God must love his brother and sister. So what you see is that whenever you express Christian love, you're expressing your new covenant law of God. You're expressing the Holy Spirit. You're expressing God's word. You're expressing Christ Jesus, his life in you. There's so much. You're expressing a gift. And in doing so, you're expressing fruits. Always know these are fruits of the Holy Spirit himself. You are fulfilling the law of Christ in actions to the life of Christ that God put into your heart. And John's deeper point is that if you truly love God, you should truly love those who are Christian brothers and sisters. And the two things that are prominent in your law is this: love for God and love for God's people. Just keep that at the forefront in everything you do. Christ's law of love has those two love manifestations operating in the one law. Sometimes it's called commandments or laws, but it's one law, and we're going to get into that. So think of what you have for what you need in understanding the law of Christ for action to be love for God and also love for God's people. Now, by the way, God has always wanted love for him and love for his people. Always. Even before the law of Christ came. You see, the love core with God, the love core of all this, was even stated in other covenants and other commandments. But even beyond that, God's always wanted love for himself and love for his people, even way back at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, in the creation. You know, God wanted Adam and Eve to love him, love one another. Love's importance has always been central with God. Love. So what he did was, is he put it into commands of love for him and for others back all through history. You can read it, and you can see it in the Old Covenant Mosaic Law as well. It was actually the core principle of the Old Law. And being in the Old Law, it also operated then prophetically, pointing to the law of Christ that we are now within. Deuteronomy 6:5 of the Old Law shows one of the Mosaic commands of the love core. And it says, "You shall love Yahweh your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might." And Leviticus 19:18 of the Old Law shows the other one. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." See? And so when Jesus was operating under the Old Covenant Law in his pre-cross ministry, he taught people under the Old Law, so that's what they were, he taught them that those two commands were its central core. In Matthew 22:35-40, Jesus said, "The great and foremost commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart." So that's the big love manifestation. "And with all your soul and with all your mind." And then he said, "The second's like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself, and that on these two commands depend the whole law and the prophets." So that would be the whole Torah, the whole Tanakh, as well as the whole Old Covenant Mosaic Law. Those two commandments simply reflect the eternal importance of love and how much it covers. In Romans 13, Paul explained love's importance to Christian Jews. So since love is God's consistent heart, to make his point strong for them, Paul hearkened back to what Jesus said about love's importance in the Old Law. And Paul's illustration to the Jews that he ministered to was, "Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has even fulfilled the Old Law." And so the Spirit through Paul is telling not just Israelites, but everyone that the love core is of the utmost importance no matter what covenant you're in. It's always the big deal. Always. Paul explained, "You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it's summed up in the saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then Paul expounded on his point, saying, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love was the fulfillment of the law." So Paul's analogy for getting across the importance of love to Christian Jews of the transition generation is that love itself is never, ever obsolete. It's always love God. It's always love God's people. You have it in your heart, but you also have it in your actions as what to do. You have what you need. And in fact, all this is magnified in the new and better everlasting covenant in your life in the Spirit. In Galatians 5, Paul did the same thing. Speaking into the Galatian scenario of the Judaizers, Paul pointed back to the old covenant as an analogy to show love's enduring importance with God. And he shows what has always been important, that it is doubly important for you to be walking by the Spirit in manifesting the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It's doubly important for us. So in Galatians 5, Paul's talking about being set free from the old covenant law in Christ. He's making a point about it. And he said, "Do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, though." But he says this, "Through love, serve one another. For even the whole Mosaic law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then Paul gave the new covenant key. He said, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh." And he said, You're not under the old covenant Mosaic law. He said, instead, you're being led by the Spirit as a Christian. And so he says, you should walk that way. Walk according to the Spirit. And he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And then he said, if anyone is caught in any trespass, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. This is love manifestation. Are we doing this? Because this is what we have. Bear one another's burdens, he says. That by doing that, bearing one another's burdens, you thereby fulfill the law of Christ, he says. And so the old commands press God's people to express what you do, what I do now by the Holy Spirit, namely, we bear one another's burdens in the law of Christ. This is manifesting loving others, not just accepting them, and that's all through the Bible as well, but it's accepting them and you're doing something for them. You're meeting needs. You're helping. You're healing. You're loving. Now think about loving your neighbor as yourself as a golden rule thinking process then. You've heard that, golden rule. Well, it's a thinking process. The goal is to guide you through what to do when it comes. So you think about yourself in a lot of ways, actually manifesting love in actions. This is why Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, in everything, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. It's a thinking process. Is this the way I would like them to treat me right now, what I'm doing? Am I loving them the way I would want them to love me? And so it says in James 1 that those who look intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abide by it, that's the law of Christ, it says they will be blessed in what they do. Well, it's beautiful language. But then James says in 2:8, if you're fulfilling, fully filling up, this is a doing thing, the king's law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. Remember, it's a thinking process. And who's the king? Jesus. The law of Christ is his law, and James is explaining the same things. The urging is to love your neighbor as yourself, and that was in the old law. But loving your neighbor as yourself also fulfills the new covenant king's law. And so it's always a golden rule to be with us like a mental word check. You know, you're always in a situation. You're always going to be in a situation. You're going to have to analyze it. Love others the way you want them to love you. And here's the thing. When you have this love check, you've got the Holy Spirit working in your heart this whole time with this love check. You'll know what to do. You'll know what to do. And then James says, he who speaks against a Christian brother or judges him speaks against the king's law of liberty and judges the king's law of liberty. Meaning, he judges what God's telling you to do. And it says, but if you judge the king's law, you're not a doer of the king's law, but you're a judge of it. Meaning, you're not simply just obeying God and doing love. You're arguing about whether to love. So it says, there's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who's able to save and to destroy, but who are you who judge your neighbor? And so all this gives us amazing understanding of your law. You have the direction for what you need to do. So take what James, take what all the apostles say, and govern your actions with a very easy analyzation. I need to. I must. I better love you the way I want you to love me. I need to change my attitude if this is not happening right now. I got to change my attitude because I want you to change your attitude toward me. It's a very simple and practical thing that the Lord's given us in so many ways. But there is one big difference. Love them the way you want them to love the saved you. The regenerated you, which finds your new identity to be in Christ, Christ in you spiritually and you in him covenantally. This is not a minor detail, by the way. This is what I'm bringing out right now is important. This is the essence of Christ Jesus' commandment. Love them according to Galatians 2:20. According to the new you that came out from the old you that was being crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live, but it's not the old you who lives, but now Christ living in you. Well, when you want them to love you, the saved you that's got Christ in you, love them that way. Because your union with Christ is all about his love flowing through you. And see, that's the way you want them to love you, and that's the way you should be wanting to love them. Your union with Christ is all about his love flowing that way. That's what you want. And see, your Christian love is by the Spirit. So Christ in you is the standard for how to love. And by the way, that is Christ's new commandment. When the law of Christ was first given by Jesus on the last covenant Passover night, directly before he went on to create the new covenant in his blood the next day, the last old covenant Passover night, Jesus said in John 13:34-35, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you." Now he's pointing to something, that's why he said loved, "that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So Jesus made his new commandment standard to be loving others the way that he demonstrated love for them minutes beforehand in humbly washing the feet of his disciples. Think about it. It's self-sacrificial servanthood illustration. And this is what he's pointing to as us doing in the new commandment. And it's not that you need to wash people's feet to obey the commandment. It's to love by doing an infinite number of love things like that. It doesn't stop. The law of Christ is a higher law, and it has higher demand than any law in history, because it covers every situation at any time. Loving God, whatever you're doing, loving others and whatever you're doing. It's so high. And that's why we got to be led by the Spirit, because it's going to pop up every single second. And so you got this infinite number of ways, and it's so much more, because Jesus was pointing to his heart attitude and action attitude of the way of his love. And this is the big issue. This is Christian love. It's love which does the degree of the highest point to become humble, if that's what it requires. Self-diminishing. Just put yourself aside and put up with what you're going to have to put up with to do this. You know, you're choosing to do the hard, hard self-diminishing things for others as Jesus did. Now, think of it as the "what would Jesus do" love. And it's what he wants. Now, by the way, that giving of the new commandment by Jesus was referred to often by John. John wrote it in the gospel, and he used it later many times when he taught in 1 John, 2 John. John was there that night. Jesus gave it. And so when John taught to love, he always had that giving of the new commandment in mind. Way later, in 1 John 2, John wrote, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I've come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, remember, those commandments are the same love expressions that make up the law of Christ. Love God, love Christians. But then, what's interesting, you find this a lot, including in the Hebrews passage of the Jeremiah prophecy, but then John calls them one commandment. So you have John calling them commandments here, but then all of a sudden John turns around and he calls them one commandment, saying, "But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. Beloved, I'm not writing a novel commandment to you." Something unusual that did not exist before, no. "But an old commandment which you've had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you've heard." Well, the commandment of Christ is not something John suddenly decided to come up with to write to the churches in Asia. You know, he says next, "On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you." Okay. And see, this love commandment was old at the time John wrote 1 John, because it was given by Jesus years earlier. But when Jesus gave it, he referred to it as the new commandment. So it's the new commandment, law of the new covenant. And so John does a good job of explaining how that one commandment is the commandments, plural. He says at 1 John 3:23, "This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son Jesus," which is to what Jesus? Love Jesus, which of course is to love who? God. And John said next, "and love one another just as Christ commanded us." And how did Christ command us? I mean, he said this to the disciples, but this is for us. How did he command us to love one another? The way he demonstrated love for the disciples that night. Love one another as I have loved you. But the scope of how Christ loves you is even greater than that. Jesus went on to love by laying down his life for you in the greatest outward expression of the fulfillment of the law of Christ ever. And it's a lesson, it's a reality, it's redemption, it's also a lesson. Moments after stating his new commandment, later that night while teaching in John 15:9-14, Jesus said to his disciples, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. He said, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. There it is. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It's the same commandment Jesus gave earlier that same night. And now it's later that night, and Jesus continues to use himself as the example. And this time he says, greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And in the next hours, Jesus demonstrated this greater love by laying down his life, but not just for his friends, but also for his enemies. Enemies. Romans 5:10 says this, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. While we were enemies. And so we see that the standard is Christ. And your great standard bearer for Christian love demonstrated that it's even higher than washing feet. You see, the law of Christ really does have the highest of the high demands. And so Christ fulfilled this requirement, and he did it perfectly in himself. And now your gift of Christian love, it's a manifestation of Colossians 1:27, of Christ in you. So you're fulfilling what Christ fulfilled for you, and he's fulfilling in you each moment. You're like his arms and legs and his mouth every day by his Holy Spirit. So what do? Always think with the golden rule principle, but make it pure gold according to Philippians 2, in which, like it should always be, Jesus is your standard. Jesus. It says, pursue encouragement in Christ, consolation of love, fellowship of the Spirit, affection and compassion, maintaining the same love, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility, consider one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be held on to tightly, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. That right there is love taken to its high standard. It's the love of Christ attitude of the law of Christ that God really wants from all of us. It's not trying to keep a whole bunch of rules. You know, there are rules in God's word, and there's lots of rules for us. But on this particular aspect, it gets deeper than that. This heart attitude bleeds into everything. It's this attitude of Jesus that he has that bleeds into everything. Pursue the high standard. Pursue the way of him. And then you will fulfill the law that you have for what you need. Amen?